This is Amanda Kennedy. Today is April 19th, 2018. I am interviewing Pearlie May at her home for the UNT Oral History Program on the St. John's Church and Cemetery and the historical memory of the church, cemetery, and community. Hi, Pearlie May.
Hi.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine.
That is great. So could you state your name?
My name is Pearlie May Simpson. Jackson before I married.
And how old are you?
I'm 73 years old.
What year were you born?
I was born in 1944, July.
So great. Where do you live?
I live here right now. I live in Paw Point, been here all my life. But I am living with my mother right now. The home that we had across town, we still have the land and everything, but we tore the house down, and we're in the process of building another one, but we're living here right now at the moment.
So but ever since you can remember, your family has lived in Paw Point.
So I went to, like I said, I was born and raised really in Cook County, but it's still Paw Point. I went to school over here on Burke Street, where the St. James Church is sitting right now. We had a big building there, and it had three rooms to it. It actually had more, they built another room on. It had one big room, and then it had a big cafeteria. And I went to school there until I finished to the eighth grade. And then we were bused. The bus would pick us up there and carry me to Denton to Fredmore High School. So I went to Fredmore High School, and I finished there in 1963. I graduated from Fredmore High School. And from there, I went and to TWU, it was an LBN program. And I was the only, me and two more blacks, was the only two that was in there in that class. I went there, and I graduated from there. And then I went to work in Sanger at the nursing home over there, which is, it's not there anymore, but Curing Inn in Sanger. And I worked also for Dr. Chapman in the clinic some over there. And from there, well, I got married and everything. So I have two kids. I have two boys. They're grown. And I have what my youngest boy, I have two granddaughters right here, and then I have one grandson by my oldest son, and he's in Colorado Springs, so And that's where my son, we're until just lately he moved back to Dallas. One of the son, the other son is here in Paw Point. And then I went to worked in nursing, you know, and then I went back and went to paramedic school. And I volunteer here on Paw Point Ambulance Service for years. Then they finally taught me into going to work for the school. So I drove a school bus and school nurse. And I retired in 2005 or 6 or somewhere along in there when I started. I got sick, really. And the doctor told me I need to come out, which I had enough time and everything to do it, so I did. But from there, I just, like I said, I've lived here in Paw Point. I served on the city council here from 1980-something. I've stayed on the council, well, I was the longest person on the city council here, put it that way. And I was, Dr. Groff passed, I was a mayor pro tem for a little while. But then they called another election, but I was still on the council. So I've been, you know, been a lot here, and Paw Point has changed, you know, from what it was when I was coming up. But I still, I love it. I love it here. And my husband, he's from here. He's been here in Paw Point all his life, except for out in the country when they were. So we just Paw Point, but, you know, we just never moved anywhere else. Mm-hmm. And I too have been going to church when it was out in the country, out in St. James before the lake came in. And that's where I joined church out there. And I've been going there ever since. And then we moved it to town. They moved, well, we started to move the church, but they tore the church down. And they bought the building that's over there now from down in Mustang. Now, I don't know if you know where Mustang is here. It's going towards Salina. It's a little community called Mustang. And that's where this church came from. And they built a new church there. Have you heard of G.A. Moe? Mm-hmm. Well, he's a coach, used to be a coach. But he's a minister down there, and so he's got a new church there where this church came from. So, but like I said, we've just been here, and we're just different. My whole family have been in church, I guess. You might My grandfather was a minister. My dad played piano for years. Huh. And then he worked at school also. He was a janitor. He was the first black janitor there. And Mom worked with him up there cleaning the school. As a matter of fact, they got a book. They got a... She worked in the cafeteria too, along with Dad. But they got a book up in the library with my dad. That was my dad, yeah.
What is that book called?
You know, I haven't read that book in a while, and I really, but it's in the library here. I have to go up and get it.
What's your
Anderson thought? Jackson.
Anderson Jackson?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got a book up there. That was my dad.
So, yeah. What do you remember about Pilot Point as a child? Hmm. What was it like as a kid living in here?
Ooh, gee. We just had to... It was good, but we didn't have very much here to do. They did have a skating rink here for a while, but we didn't get to go very much, you know, to it, because that was before they integrated when I was coming up. And so we kind of just, we'd go to Salina maybe, you know, after we got old enough, after Daddy and Mom didn't let us go, but most of the time we just have parties, you know, at each other's house or something like that, and we all get together. And that's about all we had to do here until I got into high school in Denton, before we really, you know, started going and doing things. So it was kind of boring, but then we had fun anyway. But we, during my life, you know, we worked in the fields. And we all had to go to the field, because that's how we made our living. Everybody made a living. And we would go, and then when cotton season was over with, that's when we got to go to school, after we stopped picking cotton. And we'd go, and I'm going to be truthful with you, there was a couple of times in my life which a lot of them that lived here did drop out. But I was determined that I was going to go to school. I'm not going to do cotton all the rest of my life, you know. So I wanted to stay in school. I had to go when school started, you know, we'd be behind and everything, so I had to do catch-up all the time. And I had one white friend of mine, which, you know, she grew up here, and her dad owned a store up on the square. And she would let me come up to her house, and I'd go around to the side and go in there and use her books and study, because I didn't have nowhere else to go to, you know, to study here. And it was too far. Mom and Dad didn't have transportation to carry me to Denton. So we were just, you know, we were stuck. We didn't have everything. But like I said, she let me use her books. And I would study. And a lot of nights I would say, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to quit, you know. But then I think, you know, I want to keep going. So I did. I kept going. And I graduated. When they gave out the diploma, I got mine. So I made it through that. So I tell my kids all the time, you know, it's not easy. Because, and the kids, you know, they would make fun of the kids in Paul Point sometime. They said, school, you know, cotton picking must be over here, come Paul Point, you know. They tease us, you know. But it didn't bother me that much, because I told them, it doesn't matter about you teasing me. When you get your diploma, I'm going to get mine. And that's what I did. You know, I just kept going. I had to play catch up, but the teachers were real good there, you know. and they would help me. Sometimes I'd stay, and if mom and dad let me, let me stay and study, so I would do that sometime and do what I had to do to catch up. But Paw Point, it's been real peaceful, during the time when they was having all the trouble everywhere else. I didn't have that much here, which, because most of the people worked in the fields together, and all the parents, we knew each other, So it was kind of like, but then some of the kids, we could tell somebody don't live, they'd come in and they would be a little problem, sometimes. But it wasn't really that bad, just doing that. And so I'm just, like I said, I'm proud to be here. I've been in different places visiting. I go and, but this is home. Always just, I never had a desire to move anywhere else. And I just kind of just stay here. So.
What do you have any stories that your parents or grandparents told you about their life here in Pilot Point?
Not a whole lot. They just, they would just say it was different, in which I got to see a little bit of it, But they are mostly, all the people was out in Cook County. It was like a little settlement out there. And we all would, everybody would stay together out there, and we'd go all meet up at the church, and we'd have fish fries and stuff like that. So we all just kind of kept busy. And mom and dad and all of them, when we all go, all the kids had to go, We all just load up, everybody go out in Cook County. And then we had, and during the summertime, it was an orchard out there on St. James Road where a guy raised berries and plums and peaches and stuff like that. We all would sometimes walk from here out there, and we'd pick berries, come back. We just, we weren't bad because we stopped at the store, and we just, all the kids would be together. It was just a community thing with all of us. And we just didn't, and then we all, like I said, we go fishing, we go and do stuff like that, but it always would be a group, or something. And that's all we did, it wasn't that bad to us at the end.
So, you've been going to St. James Church all your life.
All my life. Mm-hmm.
So how was church life when you were younger? What do you remember about it?
Yeah, we had, we'd go out, like I said, Cook County out there, and it was good. It really was. I mean, we were kids, but we had a senior choir and they called a youth choir and all that. So we sang in the youth choir, and we all go out there, and they'd give us, like I said, we all go fishing. And mudding, what they call it. We'd get in the water and catch fish. Everybody would clean it. And they'd have a big old pot sitting out there on the church ground. Everybody go out there and they clean fish, we fry fish, and we'd just have fun, Everybody just, we'd have a, out there. And it wouldn't be nothing because we were so far out in the country, and after all the older people's kind of died out and they moved to town and around, the church was still there. And we go out, it wouldn't be nothing, we'd go out there at night, and sometime someone took the piano from out there, and they take things and they do things, and sometimes we go out there and pianos, and but still we had church out there, and until the lake came in, so we still, everybody, now I go out there and look sometime, but it's all underwater, you can't really see unless you visualize, where it was, but it's just different. But I'm still, like I said, up here, I enjoy it, but it's getting a little crowded, as you can see. Birch Street's closed off, and they finna build all those homes over next to the church. And even over where I live at, they finna put 200 homes over there. Yeah, and so it's gonna be, after a while, we'll be a big city. I just visualize that being that. I don't know how long, but I think it's going to eventually get to that.
So how is it like living in a farming community here in Pilot Point?
To me, it was good. It was peaceful. And to be truthful with you, it wasn't stressful to me, maybe because I didn't realize what, you know, everybody just made a living. And we all would go work all day in the field, come home, and sometimes we had to take a big old tub and pack water before we take a bath. Because we didn't have running, you know, we didn't have like we got now. And we had to, like I said, we had outside restrooms and things like that. But everybody in this community had it. And my dad then would raise hogs, and we kill hogs. My uncle lived way out west of town here. And it wouldn't be nothing to us go out there and stay a whole week with them. And they'd kill hogs. We processed, you know, everybody. Everybody in town had fresh meat, you know, come in. Everybody get some meat. And then the next week or two or whatever, somebody else kill a hog, you know, and they all would get together. And we'd stand there and watch them do it, you know, and cut up meat and stuff. And it was just great then. I mean, it was just, you know. And now it's a little different. Everybody's busy going, busy doing this. And you just don't get to visit like you used to. You know, you don't get have time. And I miss that. I really do. I miss, you know, being out. But that's life.
Did you ever hear any stories about the St. James community mingling with the St. John's community?
Well, they all mostly, the people that live down there, from what, you know, when I got up, you know, where I remember a whole lot, most of the people had moved. They had put Cataline Church in then, and then our church at St. James was still out in the country, but Cataline was over here. And then they had a church right down here on Walcott, Church of God in Christ, we called it. So all the people that was out in St. John, they all that came to town, this, you know, this direction, so they were going to church here. And St. John's, the cemetery, I didn't know it. Well, I was on the council then, and two guys was out there, one in which one of them is deceased now. But he was out there, and he located the cemetery some kind of way. He do tombstones. So he came over to the house, over to my house, and told me, he said, "Pearlie, it's a cemetery, a black cemetery out there." And I said, "Where?" And he told me, and I said, "You know, I want to go see it." And so I went out there, and during that time, and we went, and Miss Bailey, but Larry Smith, the first house, the big white house there, Larry Smith and his wife lived there, so I called him, I knew them. And he said, "Yeah, come on, just go down and ask Miss Bailey." So she did, she let us in. And it was a group of people went out there. We all went out there and looked and went inside the cemetery and looked. And it was rocks, not tombstones. It was just rocks out there. I saw one with 1700 something on it. So I think that's when they converted it over into a slave cemetery because it had tombstones from way, way back. And but most of them was the cows that been in there and they were, you know, so we just kind of, and I told them, I said, "Can we do something to get it up, you know, because it is a cemetery."
What time period was this that you're talking about?
That we went out there?
Yes.
You know, David, I can go to the post-signature because they got papers. They got a paper wrote up. And I did have one here. I don't know where I put it exactly. Because they came out and we had people from Wichita Falls that came here. And a guy, a judge, and I don't know his name, but he wrote me, and he called me, and he was going to come, because we was, at the time, we was kind of couldn't get in there, you know. And so he said, "Yeah, we're going to work on it, getting access to it." And I never got back with him, because I started taking care of mom and everything, and we just kind of, and Reverend White was supposed to have been doing a follow-up, and evidently he didn't. So then Mr. Hudson was from Denton. I don't know whether y'all know him or not. And Mr. Hudson, Husband, yeah. Okay, he called me. And he came up here. And he said he was going to try to get some help to clean it up. And I haven't even made it down there. It's a shame to say, but I haven't been back down there to see if they did any work to get it up or what. Because I'd like to see it, you know, where we can get in there and try to keep it up, you know, because it's in some of the people's here in which we have, they say we have, I have a cousin out there too, but it's so long, see, and I don't, we looked and I tried to go through and the tune, the rocks and try to find out, but it was hard because the, like I said, the animals, the cows had been in there and they had kind of knocked over stuff and, but Miss Bailey said she could try to keep the fence up, you know, a little bit to try to keep them out, but they were still in there. So I don't know. Like I said, when I get everything caught up, I'm going to try to go back out there and see what Mr. Husband, you know, what they got it.
And but, just the introduction, this is David Lacey. I'm part of the interview process with Amanda. So when you all went to the cemetery, that was, it was still, at least when you first went there, it was still St. John's Cemetery. And then after they found the tombstone that said 1700s or something in that range, that that's when someone decided this must be an old slave cemetery.
Slave cemetery.
Do you know who that was?
His name was David Harrell.
Do you know who David Harrell was?
I don't, David, all I know is he always went around cemeteries and tombstones and, you know, and stuff and do, you know, and get the dates off them and I don't know what you would call it, but he's the one that, you know, like I said, contacted me about it. And I don't know, I hadn't talked to him in years and I heard that he was deceased, but I'm not sure.
Because I heard a story that there were some Boy Scouts who went and were trying to clean up the cemetery and find out who was in there. And I think originally were the first people in like the 90s or so that were doing it. Was this?
No, they wasn't the first. Matter of fact, they had, when we was working on it, they had contacted them and they said that they could get some Boy Scouts to come in and help clean it up. And like I said, I don't know whether they ever went out there or not. But Mr. Husby or whatever his name is, he came up here. He came up here and sat there on the couch and talked to me about it. And I told him, I said, well, they had said they'd get some Boy Scouts to come in from North Texas or somewhere and help clean it up. And he said, well, I'm going to work on it with the commissioners and see what we can do. And I said, okay, go for it, because right now my hands are kind of tied, you know, and I want to help, but I can't right now. So, I, you know, from there, I don't know. I hadn't contacted him back to see.
Was this a couple of years ago, like around 2015, 2016?
Yeah, somewhere along in there, yeah. When he came, with Mr. Hudson, yeah. But it was along in that when we first went out there, when Mr. Harrell located. Yeah, that was along in that.
Do you remember when that was?
No, but I can. We can get that newspaper up there and get the newspaper. Yeah, it's in there. Just go up and tell David Lewis. You know, I think it's. Yeah, he can. They can pull that up.
And which paper was it again?
In Parliament Post Signal. Yeah, just go up there. They can pull that up and get, you know, everything that was.
And have you mentioned the cemetery to the council that you're a part of?
City Council. Well, I'm not on the council right now. Okay. But I did back then, during that time, it's a whole new council now up there. But they didn't want to get involved with it. You have to, and they said that you have to adopt a cemetery. You have to go through adopting a cemetery or something. And it was a lot of work. And like I said, I haven't been down to the commission to see what you have to do. But I talked to some more people around here, the other cemetery out here, St. James, and I'm on that board now, so maybe we can get to working more and try to get it. I just this past year, I just got on that board to work with it, but it's, so I need to go talk to Miss Bailey, too, because we need access to it. I don't know any other way except from the south end, but it's, Ranger owns that too, and I don't know him. I never contact him, so I don't know what we need to do.
So why do you feel like the preservation of this cemetery is important?
I don't know. I got this thing, I guess. I know there are a lot of let the dead bury the dead, but to me, it's something that I think we need to as a human being and as a community. I just don't want to throw them away like I didn't even throw my puppy away like that. When my little dog, I buried her, and I kept her. It's to me, it's just something that we need to do as human beings. We need to. Our dead, they're dead, but still, they're part of us. That's the way I feel. I just feel like, we need to see about the cemetery.
How do you feel about the name, it being Old Slave Cemetery when it used to be St. John's? Do you have a preference on the name?
On that, it doesn't bother me because I'm sure 1700, they were enslaved somehow. And so, it doesn't, it's just a name,
Do you know of any people that have been buried in that cemetery? Whether you personally had heard stories?
I don't, Amanda, I don't have, but Mr. Harrell, we had taken a list, and I had a whole list, and I'll still look for it. I got most of my stuff that I had in my house is in my storage shed. I packed down, see all of my papers and stuff. But yeah, I had a list, yes, of the names of the people. And matter of fact, some of the people had contacted me, called me, and I'm trying to find my relatives. Are they in that cemetery, And we're trying, and I said, I've got a list here for what we could see on the rocks and things that we had, but there may be more, so we don't know.
I was talking to Miss Bailey. Uh-huh. This past week, she said that she spoke with you when you visited the cemetery last. And she told me to specifically ask you about the story of a white woman being buried in that cemetery. Mm-hmm. Would you mind telling
well,
that story?
Well, she's mm-hmm. white, but she's mixed, Mm. She's supposed to be mixed. And, she's supposed to be there. They told me that she's buried there. So I told Miss Bailey, I said, well, she's still part of the family. If she's mixed up, she's just, yeah.
Yeah, I think Miss Bailey said that she was poor, uh-huh. poor woman, and she couldn't afford a funeral, so they just...
And they buried her there.
Mm-hmm. Buried in her overalls. Is that right?
I didn't dig her up. I'm not glad what they said. They buried her.
It's getting dark out there.
So when you say mix, is it black and white
mm-hmm.
mixed?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
All right, Pearly. Do you know of any families that moved into Pilot Point after the Civil War or after the 1920s, by any chance?
No, I don't know any new families that moved in. No.
Any families from Alabama?
No. Louisiana, but not Alabama.
Do you know anyone else with information about the church or the cemetery?
Not really. Like I said, David Harrell would be the only one that would be able to chase him at the cemetery. And from what I they told me he was deceased. I don't know if he is, and he didn't have any relatives in there that I'm aware of. I don't know.
Is there anything else that you want to add that came to your mind that you would like to share about Pilot Point mm-hmm. as a kid or Pilot Point while growing up here, anything?
Mm-hmm. Not a whole lot. It's just Pilot Point.
I have something that I like.
Well, thank you so much, okay. Pearlie.
All right.
Thank you for speaking with us today. Okay. And we just really appreciate you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.